G'day all you Petra fans out there. Thank you once more for pressing play on Rock, a Petrospective. I'm Lindsay Hall.
And I'm Dave Hall.
And Dave, let me tell you something that I've discovered this past week. Did you know that there is a higher place to go?
You know, I have been looking around. I've heard that, you know, that it just, I couldn't believe it. I was totally beyond belief when I heard that.
I thought you might be, mate. I thought you might be. We have arrived, my friends, my fellow listeners, at the mountaintop. And I don't use that term lightly, but everything that I've read from all of your comments as you fed into this journey that we've been on all this time, this is the peak, Petra, that we are talking about today, the Beyond Belief album. Arguably, it never gets better than this, but I say that with the caveat that I always use. We're talking about Petra, so never gets better than this still means that as bad as it gets from here, it's still better than 95% of all other music in existence. So, you know, but possibly, Dave, no one knows better what a mountaintop we're reaching than the special guest that we've had with us today.
That's right. We've been very fortunate to be joined on this episode by someone who has had the opportunity to speak to the members of Petra who recorded this amazing album just around about 12 months ago, interviewed them for a 25th anniversary special interview. It's available on the internet, and it's with great pleasure that we welcome to On Rock, a Petrospective, Ron Rockstar. Ron, welcome.
Welcome, Ron.
Good day, mates.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ron Rockstar, present music journalist, one-time film producer, and eternally autograph enthusiast. Tell me, is it just rock stars that you get autographs from, or is it actually a lot broader than that?
It's definitely broader than that, because of that's my experience within the music industry on a whole. So I've gotten autographs from people that I've worked with in film, in the music industry, even a few sports people. I mean, I'm not a big sports guy, but you know, yeah. So that's one of my passions is collecting autographs. I love it.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. And we're grateful, especially considering that we got you up well before the crack of dawn over in your part of the world. It's the sun
it
won't rise
proof,
for
it is proof that God is awake at that time of the morning at five before 6 a.m. God does get up because he's been up with us all night.
So I imagine the sun's not going to rise for another while yet on you guys, but thank you so much for joining us. As Dave mentioned, you are well known now for having done, I think, probably the only significant interview of Petra for their, sorry, was it 25th or 30th anniversary of Beyond
Actually,
Belief?
Actually, it was the 30th anniversary.
30th anniversary, Beyond Belief. I haven't seen much beyond what you've done in terms of a celebration of that album. We acknowledge it's COVID world, so it's hard to get people together to do anything.
I don't think there's been anything with the entire band since essentially the farewell tour and the classic Petra DVD releases, because outside of that, I've heard interviews with individual members, but that's probably the first time that there's been a whole band interview for years. And beyond that, probably the first time there's been an interview with the dream team, as a lot of pet heads like to call them, the dream team since probably essentially John Lowry left the band at the end of the Wake Up Tour journey. So I think that's a very significant milestone. That must have been a very humbling and a very exciting opportunity at the same time, Ron.
It was both. And you know, I people always ask me, how did you do that? And what you guys probably both ask me is, how did I put that together? And I always give them the same answers. I'm like, you know what? It was a lot of prayer and God.
Right on.
I will say too, obviously there was a lot of emailing and phone calling back. And so for your listeners, I would just say the first guy who I reached out to, who was very enthusiastic to do it, was Ronnie Cates. Mm. And it was originally going to be just me and Ronnie talking. And then he jokingly had mentioned one of the other guys. And I said, oh, yes. And I've interviewed John Schlitt through the years for his solo stuff and everything. And on my channel, actually, for your listeners also, I did interview John Schlitt for his Go solo record. And that's kind of what also got things going. Because once I spoke to John and said, hey, you know, Go is coming out and I would like to do a Petra reunion interview. So I'll make you a deal. I'll do the Go interview and you do the Petra reunion. And John Schlitt was totally on board. He's like, yeah, let's do this. So I had John, I had Ronnie. So, you know, then the snowball just started to flow. And then I got in touch with. So the only guy who I could not reach because he was not on social media at all was Louis. He was the toughest guy to get. So through some getting, again, reaching out in contacts, it was so funny that the day before, less than 24 hours before this was going, I had everybody on board, including Bob and John Lowry. And I was walking home and my phone rings and I looked at my phone and it was, you know, a number that I didn't recognize. And I turned on my phone and all I heard was, hi, is this Ron? Is Louis Weaver?
Wow.
So, that's Louis and I spoke on the phone for, you know, a good amount of time. And I reminded Louis like where me and him had last seen and spoken to each other. And he was really enjoying just like, wow, somebody's talking, like I'm doing kind of an interview and someone's excited to, you know, five of us. And he was telling me that he would bring something special to the interview, which he did. So for those of your listeners who maybe haven't seen it yet, or if they have, either way, if they visit my channel, which is, you know, Ron Rockstar Media, and it's Rockstar Media. Louis has the Beyond Belief album promo poster behind him during the interview. And one thing that your listeners won't know, because it's sort of in the unedited portion of the interview, is that Louis said to all of us that that poster that he put behind him has been actually on his bed canopy over his bed for 30 years.
30 years.
Wow.
Wow.
So
wow.
The first time he's taking it out of his bedroom was for this interview.
That's so sweet. Do you think it's fair to say, Ron, that COVID having the effect that it's had on the world and on industries in the world and the prevalence of Zoom actually was the kind of thing that made this interview possible to achieve? Because, you know, we're not having to bring everyone together in the same space. Everyone's expecting that we can connect, you know, over the net and online.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, to get those five guys on Zoom was hard to begin with. Okay. With technical issues and just, because as I just said, phone calling and making connections and everything. So I think Zoom certainly was a help. And I think it's helping in many industries, especially in entertainment. You're seeing a lot of celebrities doing interviews now because they don't have to worry about going anywhere. So I think the last time the five guys, the dream teams, you guys and everybody else calls them, have been together since I did something, which we don't know is coming, but they've just done something with Stephen Yake. Because there's photos of the five of them in Nashville with Stephen. So something is happening with Stephen and the five guys, but we don't know what it is.
Stay tuned, folks. Well, let's put a pin in this for a second. Let's hop back, Ron, if you can give us the condensed version, what is your Petra origin story?
It's you know what, it's going to be a simple and quick answer. I mean, but it's cool though, because, you know, I've always been a rock fan, so to speak. And I became a Christian, and the church that I was attending was very conservative. Okay. You're pretty much only allowed to listen to Steve Green or Sandy Patty, and anything else was unacceptable. And so being a rock and roll guy, I was, and by the way, and I want to say, I do love, you know, Sandy Patty and Steve Green. They're incredible. I even have their products and still enjoy them, but you know, I want to rock out a little bit. And so I had some friends in another church youth group who were very, very contemporary. And so one of my friends who was the youth leader there, he introduced me to Petra with the live album. Okay. And I enjoyed it, you know, but then at that time was just when Beyond Belief was coming out. Mm. And so Beyond Belief was one of the first three Christian albums that I actually went out and purchased. So what you were saying at the beginning of the podcast today, Lindsay, was imagine one of the first, or not probably the first Christian rock album I purchased was Beyond Belief. I started with the pinnacle.
Oh my goodness.
Everything else after that.
what a standard. To come in. What a standard to have set.
It was, I think, my first three contemporary Christian albums that I purchased, that I, you know, was Beyond Belief from Petra, White Heart Freedom, and I think Amy Grant to Lead Me On. I
mean, my goodness. What?
Yeah, so you're throwing Michael W. Smith's Eye to Eye, and you've almost got what I guess the Americans use the term Mount Rushmore. I mean, that'd almost be a Mount Rushmore of contemporary Christian music at that
certainly
time.
Certainly, after around 1990.
Do you know what's funny about that statement? It was Eye to Eye.
So you've had taste from the very beginning is one thing that we're getting here, Ron, which is great, Dave. You and I, you know, 1990, finally, this is a point where I can say, I remember you getting this album, because I remember this coming in and you starting to play this. Mm. Was this wouldn't have been the first Petra album that you were really anticipating, but it certainly was one of them.
I think it was the first album that I had I had the anticipation of it is due out, it is coming out, and I want to get it as soon as it comes out. So as I shared last episode, Petra Praise, I was alerted to that before, you know, went at the On Fire concert. And so I got that not long after it came out. I remember seeing the advertising for Beyond Belief at their local Christian bookstore, and I had my dollars and cents saved. And the minute I knew that album was out, I was convincing Dad to take us down to the Christian bookstore. I bought it. I played it because it was just amazing. This one just, it got played so much in the car, at home, going to school. Yeah, this album just got a ton of airplay, and it was probably, you know, like I said, it was highly anticipated, and the first thing that I was able to actually, you know, prepare before it came out.
Hmm. Well, I thank you now, David, if I never did at the time. This is one of those occasions when one of the first things that you did was you got a blank tape and you made a copy of the album for me to listen to. So thank you. This one got so much play. As I mentioned last time, grabbing an inflatable guitar that I had gotten in a Cadbury show bag and rocking out for hours on end in my bedroom. This album was, I lack the words to describe the impact of this album on my life, on kind of the community that we're a part of that appreciates this music and this band. Look, on the world that appreciates Petra at large, this album released 1990, this was their most Speaking in financial terms, commercial terms, most successful album that they've ever done. But that's
It was. Bob has said I've heard Bob say that Petra Praise was the first album that went gold. I can't remember that's sold however many copies. I'm sure, Ron, you could probably use it 100,000 or a million copies. What's a gold album in selling terms?
I think it is something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, Beyond Belief hit similar levels, but Beyond Belief was the first time that the band won a Grammy Award. So we talk about awards, we talk about achievements. This was the first time the band won a Grammy Award. And Ron, I was going over listening to the interview, the 25th anniversary interview the other day that you did with the band. I'm sure you remember Bob was sharing in the interview how he lost a bet with the Elefante brothers because he didn't think they would win a Grammy and they did. So it certainly was a massive achievement, a massive. I think it's an earmark to show the level of acceptance that Petra were now receiving, because to receive a Grammy review reflects a level of acceptance among the wider music community, not just sort of the growing acceptance in the Christian community, which we talked about over the last couple of episodes with touring with Josh McDowell and the churches becoming more accepting of Petra. But now the band were being accepted as a standard bearer amongst their peers and amongst other people who were involved in the industry.
Can I ask for you to weigh in on this a bit, Ron? First of all, Ron, can you recall the first time putting Beyond Belief on and listening to it and what your response was to what you were hearing?
It's funny because, you know, Dave just talking about the 30th anniversary interview, and I mentioned this in the interview, you know, the first time you hear Armed and Dangerous, the way that song starts off with, you know, the hey. And from there on out, you know, it's almost like a scene from a Rocky movie where Rocky just constantly hits you nonstop, right? It's a 1-2 punch and you're knocked out by the end. And it's like, you know, when I think of the greatest albums for me personally of all time, and I did this on my personal Facebook recently, I think it was like a year or two ago, you know, people asked, oh, what's your top 10 favorite albums of all time? And I talked about Beyond Belief being one of them, along with some other secular artists and other Christian artists as well. And the thing about Beyond Belief, when you first hear that, it's one of those like life-changing moments. I'm not even exaggerating. It changed me spiritually, obviously, because I was still a new Christian. So it spoke to me so strongly in the type of music that I enjoyed, the style. What they were saying lyrically was so powerful. With the music that was just as powerful, it was something that I needed in my life at that time. And I can't thank God enough for, and I did that so many times. This is funny, I've never shared this with anybody except you two in my life. But I used to pray to God so many times, thanking him for bringing Petra into my life, because it was what I personally needed at that juncture in my life. And so, you know, after hearing that album for the first time, you're totally floored. You're totally blown away. And like you guys, you know, saying, you know, constantly repeated, like, I think that's probably one of the albums that I've played the most in my life. One of them. I won't say it's the one I played the most, because I'm never going to be sure that is, but it's one of them.
Yeah. No, right on.
I think I think another thing that really sticks out to me about this album was it wasn't only just one of the first albums I got, but this was the first time I was able to get into the broader impact of the album. I bought I still have it, the music book for this album. And as an aspiring guitarist, I sat down with my guitar teacher, who was a Petra fan, and we would play the songs, or we would try to play the songs. And my guitar teacher would we look at the music book and try and work out some of the intro riffs and all that. So Petra was not only, Beyond Belief wasn't only sort of the impact album, but it was the first opportunity I had to try and play Petra songs and incorporate that into my wider life at the time. So it's a real place of firsts here. We've got, you know, first album introductions and, you know, first anticipations and first music books.
It's really something I don't want to gloss over either. We've mentioned the Grammy, obviously a huge honor for any recording artist, but also their first Dove Award. Is that right, Ron?
I think it was, which is in the interview, which I show you guys the clip in my interview with them.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because, you know, we have to say there's obviously so many people who love the Greg X Volz years. And of course, those were great years. But with this era, with the Dream Team, let's say with the John Schlitt era of Petra, they really had gone beyond belief with what they were doing. I hate to use that, you know, term, but it's true, right? You're right, totally.
I think that's it. And it seems to be Beyond Belief is kind of the culmination of the lineup, the bands having stayed together now for a real good length of time, have gotten into the rhythms of each other, understanding how each other play, the kind of work that they're expecting from one another in the studio as well. They've obviously got a great rapport with John and Dino Elefante as their producers. You're just at this peak time. It's like, an athlete in peak physical condition or a team who are in their peak condition. There's a legendary American football team, isn't there, that just had an absolute blinder of a season because just everything was right. And this was that season now for Petra, it seems, and hey, all us fans, all us pet heads around the world are the ones who really receive the blessing of that through the music of this album, through its legacy, something we get to carry on. For the most part, almost entirely, it's all just a joy to behold and to be in the presence of. There is only one glaring question mark that hangs around about Beyond Belief. It doesn't hang over it. It doesn't cover it. It's just off to the side there. And that is a little VHS cassette that was produced. Runs for about an hour. It's called the Beyond Belief movie. That might be a generous term to use for this particular piece of media. I recall in your interview, Ron, the movie gets mentioned briefly, and my reflection on the band was that everyone became very carefully diplomatic in what they then had to say about the production of the Beyond Belief movie. We won't get too bogged down, but it's a curiosity to me that this thing even exists. First of all, do you have much of a memory of that particular video cassette?
See, this is the great thing, how God works, because that question is something really cool to actually ask me. I remember running down to the local Christian bookstore. I bought that video and I came home and I put it on and I watched it with my family, who are all non-believers, by the way.
Wow.
And they were floored. They wanted to watch it again.
Oh. Okay. Right on.
It really, I mean, even me, I love that movie. And, you know, we could say there's a couple little, let's say, continuity errors and mistakes in it. But I think it is a very good film. I think it's very impactful. I think it still does kind of hold up today. You know, it's not a movie that I look back on or videos that I look back on and think, oh, you know, that was so cheesy, that you can't do with a lot of Christian videos. And I don't feel that way about the Beyond Belief movie. I feel that I could comfortably show that to anybody today and be like, hey, you can watch this and it'd be accepted. You know, the thing that's cool is that because I was becoming such a Petra fan and I was the youth leader in my church at that time, I said to my pastor that I want to show the film on a youth night and invite other church groups to come and watch it. And my pastor was cool because he was into Mylon LeFave and he was like a contemporary guy. As I said, I was in a very very conservative church and the board of elders was completely against this idea. Mm. And my pastor told me that he had in the church meeting, he had to have a fight in the board meeting. They were fighting over this, showing the Petra movie. And in the end, the pastor won. And so we actually put up posters of Petra in that very, very conservative church, which I could see that, man, they were gritting their teeth to see those posters up in the church.
They were not it just shows the difference, I guess, in church cultures and stuff, because I know and look, we were very blessed. I mean, our dad was the pastor of our church, but I remember watching the Beyond Belief movie with a lot of our youth group, as I've shared before, were all Petra fans who went to Petra concerts. So it wasn't as big a controversial issue over here that the movie came out. I mean, the movie, you know, it's you know, late 80s, early 90s Christian dramatic, you know, movie put together. So I mean, it's not an Academy Award winner, but it's certainly got a better standard than Super Christian, I think, ever did, and a few of the other those sorts of late 70s, early 80s films. The message itself is you know, it's targeted. It really shares that journey of a young guy who's grown up. He's grown up with faith, but things have happened in his life that have caused him to question where God sits in his life and how real it is to him. And then you've got the journey in the film of him coming to grasp faith as a real element for himself in a way he hadn't before. And I mean, I think that's a journey a lot of young Christians who've grown up in the church have to go through. I was a youth pastor for years, and I can remember multiple occasions young people coming to me who have grown up in the church questioning what they're believing. Why do I believe this? And me continually sharing with them that they need to, it's, you can't lean on your parents' faith. It's about coming to grips with who God is in your life and that experience and that understanding for yourself. And that's what this movie is about. I mean, that's what, and we'll get into this in a very few minutes. That's what the concept, I think, of the song itself is about. It's about moving beyond basic, that's who God is, and moving to that realm of complete trust and faith in God, despite what's going on. That's the theme of the song. That's what the theme of this movie is. And it's like I said, it's not an Academy Award winner, but it's certainly the message, I think, still holds today. Hmm.
And it does. And I want to say, you know, speaking, I just want to let you guys know what happened at the tail end of showing that Petra Beyond Belief movie in the church, which we did. And other church groups came, by the way, to watch it in my church, which was also a huge feat because we'd never done that in that small conservative church. They always kind of very kept to themselves. Other church youth groups came for that Petra movie, and it was a huge success. And even some of the youth group in my church, because obviously some weren't even aware of Petra, can you believe this? They thought it was amazing, and it turned out to be a success, and it just showed me that, you know, God was really working and sort of opening a door to some people who were so opposed to even trying this idea. And it helped to actually integrate more modern ways of reaching out in the ministry for the church and even outside the church.
It really seems like in a supernatural way, the Holy Spirit really had its hand on this entire project to just bring about a huge response. You know, we've heard not too long ago, we got to hear from Bob Hartman about this era of the band, kind of starting at the tail end of On Fire through Petra Praise and then leading into Beyond Belief, just a huge explosion and impact brought about by the Holy Spirit. And it's great that it just pervades everything that this album touched and was a part of. You know, that movie is, you know, you look at it today, it's of its time. You know, it's, you know, they brought something together. I was interested in, it comes up in your interview, and John Schlitt talks about kind of the origin of how the movie came about. Ron, do you want to share what he said about why they did that film?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, you know, I think John explained it, but and Bob talked about it too in the, you know, just the writing of the Beyond Belief album, you know, reaching out to youth, you know, having meetings with youth group leaders, and that's where a lot of these lyrics came from. And the movie, I mean, what I liked about what John Schlitt said was that they, to get this thing kind of off the ground, they had so many favors that were given to them, which is what you just said, Lindsay, you know, God having his hand on things, like getting all their airplanes, you know, their air flights taken care of for free. And you know, just things happening. And it was just like this movie was meant to happen. And it did, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it did. I'm glad it exists. And I think it is the first, well, it's definitely the first Christian album to have a movie done about the songs like that. I mean, in the Christian market. And I don't know if anyone's done it since, to be honest with you.
Carmen released The Champion. Which was it was a boxing movie with him as the stone. I've never actually seen it. I've read about it, but there was tie in there to some of his music.
Well, he actually
and stuff that he's done
before The Champion. He did one called Riot that he released in two parts, and that was exactly this Beyond Belief formula. He had written a story, and he played the lead character in this. It was kind of a cop drama that he'd come up with, but at sort of key points in the narrative, there's a break and we get a music video from his Riot album. But
Petra's the first ones to do that. So they really spearheaded this. Let's say you're saying.
Absolutely.
Trailblazing once again. We're down this line again. The number of times we've come back to the fact that Petra laid a foundation or set a trailblazing way that other Christian artists were able to follow, and I think it's been such a blessing to see as we've done this journey of going through their albums. We see over and over again the foundations that were laid, the way they paved the way for other artists to follow. And I guess that's where you come back to these awards that they're receiving now, perhaps long overdue, but in a way almost fitting recognition for everything that they'd done for Christian music. I think it was God's way of honoring them back and saying, you did so much and you've laid such a foundation, and let me bless you with this, with these honors and these achievements. And not that they look for, I mean, when you talk to the, when you see interviews and talk, I mean, Bob above everything is one of the most humble guys. When you hear interviews with him, it was never about making money and getting fame. For him, it was always about ministering to people and bringing people into the kingdom. And that's why I think these sorts of things are all an honor. Ron, you probably had an opportunity to do one thing that we never got to do down here with this tour. And we'll finish on this element before we start looking at the album. You had the opportunity to go to a live concert of Beyond Belief. As I've shared before, after On Fire, Petra didn't tour Australia again until Farewell was released. So we never got to see any more live concerts and live tours. You had the opportunity to see Beyond Belief in concert. What was that experience like for you?
I mean, that in itself is a whole podcast, but I will narrow it down here. They didn't come to Montreal. And they were playing a smaller city in Canada called London, Ontario, which is 8 hours away from where I live. So me and a friend of mine got on a bus and we traveled all that 8 hours to go. And it was a smaller venue. I was actually at the University of London, Ontario. And so it's a smaller concert hall than, let's say, arenas that Petra are used to playing. And man, when that show started, with the first song that they played was I Am on the Rock.
Oh, opening. Yes.
Okay. It absolutely was killer. I mean, it was all engines go. And it's still to this day, probably one of the top five best concerts I've ever seen in my life. And this probably happened to you guys and many of your listeners too, where you go to, let's say, a live show of some Christian artist and you come out feeling changed. You feel like the Holy Spirit's there. You feel moved. You're elevated. It was like that. I was on another level. And the coolest thing about that show, well, two cool things, is that everybody sort of, you know, ran forward and ran to the stage and everything. But this is a cool thing that people don't know about. And we talk about this off of the camera in my Petra interview, is that after, I think, the first or second song, Bob Hartman went up to John Schlitt on stage and asked him to give him the microphone, which John did. And then he let Bob go to the front. And we were thinking like, whoa, what, something's going on here. It's not like normal. And then Bob Hartman told everybody that, you know, he says, well, guys, Petra's been a little bad tonight. We have to tell everybody that unfortunately, due to the law here, nobody is allowed to come forward. So I'm going to have to ask everybody who ran forward, you have to go back to your seats, because it was, you know, the law that you weren't allowed to have crowds blocking the fire exits. So everybody then had to return to their seats. So it's a bit of a Spinal Tap moment, you know, which was kind of cool, because they had to stop the concert and wait for everybody to get back to their seats. And you had to stay in your seats. You couldn't move out. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But then I spoke to John Schlitt after the concert backstage. And John Schlitt said to me something that was really cool, because I'd felt it. And for him to say this, you know, it's really verified. He said, you know, last night we played a really big arena in the US. It goes almost three times the amount of people we had here tonight. But this smaller crowd in Canada, he's like, you guys were louder and the spirit was more here tonight than the big arena that we played last night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a word. What a word to hear. Mm-hmm. How
that was so cool.
Yeah. How'd you get backstage there?
Actually, it's funny because, you know, at that time I wasn't as connected as I was. So I just waited by the tour bus.
Right on.
I actually have a Beyond Belief promo poster signed by all five of the Dream Team.
Oh,
wow.
Which is a real rarity these days.
Yeah, so, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
So, so that's what happened with me seeing the Beyond Belief tour and concert. So, yeah, and still one of the best. And actually, I had the tour shirt just to show you guys what you're saying in this podcast, how impactful that album was to the world, especially within the Christian community. I was wearing my Petra Beyond Belief tour shirt in Canada's Wonderland. Actually, I was going to an Amy Grant concert with my girlfriend at the time. And twice during that day, somebody had run, two times, people had run up to me, stopped me, and said, you saw Petra on Beyond Belief? I'm like, yeah. Please tell us, what was it like? How was it? Talk to me. Like, so I had to stop and do it. And I said to myself, you know what? That doesn't happen often. If ever, it's really rare.
And I think that shows, like what we were talking about before, the impact this album has had, the way this album is revered, and how amazing it is to have people come up to you to recognize it. Just that recognition and an understanding of this is so amazing, and to have been able to see it live. I always wished that they'd come down here, down under, to tour for Beyond Belief. We never got that experience, and you know, that's just the way it is. That's the world. There's nothing we can change about it now. But I think, you know, it comes to that foundation of this album is just so impactful and so amazing. I think as we look at each of these songs and do our deep dive in a second, we're going to really see just the strength that this album brings, and the way the message of the songs has a lasting impact. It's not something that just, you know, resonated at the time. It's something that can still resonate today.
Well, yes, Ron, as Dave said, this is the part of our show where we perform the deep dive on the album, although perhaps the more appropriate term this time around was we might call this going higher with this particular album, and really get in lyrically, musically, everything about these songs. I was really struck re-listening to this album. All the note, just everything, every note, every cadence, every drum beat, every dynamic, every tempo shift. They're like muscle memory in me. Like I was anticipating them happening. This is the first Petra album where that's been the case for me. In reviewing this, I love them all, but this is the one that's like, you know, it's still there in my memory. And as you said, Ron, it's just, it takes that first, that growing drum beat at the beginning that's coming from silence, fading in to those haze, hey, 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 and launching into that Armed and Dangerous opening riff. Right off the bat, you know you're into something that's different. It's different from On Fire. It's different from This Means War and On Fire in the sound. I almost feel like I want to say there's a greater urgency to that intro and that song. I don't know what you guys might think of that.
I think the fade in was something unique, because normally you fade out a song, and to bring a fade in of this growing drum beat, the song, the message of the song Armed and Dangerous, it's a call to spiritual warfare. It's a call for Christians to recognize the warfare we're in. It's a little bit reminiscent. We sort of touched on This Means War and the battle views of that and some elements of On Fire, but this sort of brings up that it's an ever-present thing. We need to be ready to go. The enemy's here, but we are armed and dangerous. And I think that fading, it's almost like a march to battle. Here we come. We're marching in. And then you get that guitar slide and that amazing intro riff that is just, it is just fantastic. You've got some nice solid keyboard support underneath, and there's a real tight feel here, but the mix of the instruments is just so you can click in and you can hear everything just laying in, and it creates good variety throughout the song. There's variational elements, you know, it's not just all powering in one way. You know, the chorus where you sort of, everyone hits armed and dangerous, and then bang, God's enemies will scatter. You know, it's a real call to arms, a call, not so much call to arms, but a call to recognition that God's people are dangerous when you realize the power that God's put within you, and it carries right through the song. You get a lovely little keyboard bit followed by you know, the guitar bit going into the after the coda, so it's not, you know, you get sort of little instrumental bits throughout. Everyone gets a little chance to shine, and it really sort of slams home together with a big finish. So it's a real powerful start.
Hmm.
Ron, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, and we talk about Armed and Dangerous in the interview. So it's kind of cool that we're talking about this. Look, what a way to start an album. And, you know, think about some of those, you know, one of the lyrics I like, and I like the way too that it's even sang, okay, is, you know, his armor is worth its weight. No weapon can penetrate. Armed and dangerous, we're ready to storm the gate. And being so, let's say, on fire for God at that point with Beyond Belief, in the next portion of it, they actually say, you know, just a ragtag army at its best. But we sometimes even fail the smallest test, which means as strong as a Christian as you are, as armed as you are ready, as much as God is with you, you know what? You're going to fail. You're going to sin, or you're going to not achieve, you know, whatever spiritual goal you're making. And I think it's important to say that to people, because people fail, or they don't do something, or they sin, and then they feel like, oh my goodness, you know, it's all over. No, they need to be told this, that we sometimes fail the smallest test. And I think it's very impactful.
Yeah, well said. Can't add much more to that. I'm someone who's big into the art of how an album is constructed and how the songs are ordered. This has come up before in the band. There's just really good minds at work here when they say, like, this is the song that we introduce with, this is the song that we follow up with. Armed and Dangerous is just like it grabs you, and it's like someone running in from up the street and then scooping you up in their arms and just carrying you off, because now we're off on a journey here. But where we come down from that moment is possibly the hardest and most, it's a seismic intro. This is one that I, you know, the only live performance of Petra I ever got to see was, it was a little show. They were doing Farewell. So we're in a tent. We're in like a pinnacle tent that's been set up at a music festival in Australia. It's one of the later lineups of the band, but they did I Am on the Rock, and it was the best song of that show that they did. And something about it, it's a song that just has a power. Anytime I hear it, it's one that I literally drop anything else that I am doing, because now this song demands my attention. It is.
It's amazing that you, that you use the term seismic. I'm going to share. It's just caught me out, because let me read to you Bob Hartman's reflections on I Am on the Rock from the More Power to You devotional. Bob writes this about I Am on the Rock. One day while sitting on the lounge talking to my wife on the phone, I felt a weird sensation. There was a slow rumbling sound as if somebody were moving heavy furniture nearby. Suddenly it seemed like the floor of the building began to move in an almost circular motion. And I said to my wife, we're having an earthquake. So you use the term seismic, and some of the foundation for the song is built on having lived through an earthquake. He talks about feeling disorientated afterwards and walking around and needing to grab onto things to steady, and realizing the stable reference of life. All right, and then we get I Am on the Rock. I mean, you think about it, just, I found that really interesting. This is just a phenomenal song. The introduction for this, I think, is possibly, at least to date, and we'll see whether it holds up moving forward, is possibly the best lead introduction that Bob has ever done. The guitar riff is amazing, technically amazing. But on top of that, if you listen carefully, Bob's not the only one playing the riff.
Yeah.
Ronnie's playing it on the bass. So So Bob's playing it high on the guitar neck and Ron's playing the exact same riff on the low end of the bass, and it's just awesome. I think this song really highlighted Ronnie, and before we get through with this album, I'm going to be talking about how amazing Ronnie is on this album. But this song is just, it's powerful. It's a foundation. And like you said, we talked about Armed and Dangerous, where this army, we need to stand together. But what are we standing on? We're standing on the rock, the foundation of God. It's where we are. It's what we need to be. The band, it all comes together here. John does his great stuff through the verse, and then you get the band, the chorus. You get the vocals, the backing vocals. The band are playing and singing, "I am on the rock," and then, John with the sure foundation, "I am on the rock," his revelation. Like, it really, we get that core response feel again. And at the same time, we're getting power chords underneath it. So we've got this balance of power of living on a rock and power chords coming out in the middle. We get these mini solo coming out of the first chorus. Bob plays this mini solo before we go into the second verse. And then after the second chorus, we get this amazingly technically brilliant guitar solo from Bob. It's just such a foundation. And as I was reflecting on it, the other thing I thought about, it's not just, I think there's a double, as a Petra fan, there's a double meaning here, because you've got the foundation of, our heart is relying on God as the rock and the foundation of our life. And at the same time, we've got Petra, that means rock. And he's almost the foundational element of the band. The band was built on the concept of God being our rock. We're never going to be moved. We're never going to be shaken. I think Petra have been through such a journey that they've held true to their foundation. And we're seeing the fruit of that now. So it's just an amazing song.
Yeah. Ron, your reflections.
I got nothing after that. No, I'm going to just quickly say something, because honestly, Dave, you said everything that needs to be said. Somebody stops me and asks me, what's my favorite Petra song of all time? Off the top of my head, I'm going to say I Am on the Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, off the top of my head, that's going to be the one. And I will say, like I said, that was the song that opened the Beyond Belief tour. The song that closed the show was Armed and Dangerous.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
It seems appropriate. Armed and Dangerous closes out the short film and the music video, Armed and Dangerous.
And it's a live in the film. It's that live concert feel. He goes on a mission trip. He's on a mission trip at the end of the film, and he's there. But the "I'm on the Rock" video clip, I mean, that's amazing in itself. The waves battling against the rock that they're on playing. I don't know if you've heard Bob. I've heard Louis share it a couple of times. It was mentioned on the interview. Getting the drums out they had to take the drums out on a dinghy to this rock where they did it. But I've heard another interview where Louis actually said that while they were recording, the tide was rising and they had to finish quick because he had to get the drums off again before they got swamped.